Roscommon GAA memories with myself, Aidan Rafferty, and of course Ray Lennon, former Roscommon goalkeeper. And this week we're going to be covering the 2001 Connacht final between Roscommon and Mayo, and a game that turned out to be quite an epic game, wasn't that right, Ray? It was a game I was at myself now, and from start to finish, it was a great game.
It was an epic game, as you said, Aidan. That's the correct word to use. It was a game that took place on the 1st of July 2001. And when the history of Roscommon football is written again, this game will be up there at the top in terms of its drama, excitement and cliffhanger finish. The game will go down in folklore. It was one of Roscommon's greatest ever victories in a Connacht final. It happened at Hyde Park on a glorious Sunday at the beginning of July 19 years ago, and Roscommon came out on top on a scoreline of 210 to 112, Aidan. And of course, we all remember the great goal scored by Gerry Lohan at the very last kick of the game, nearly 5 minutes into injury time, to win the game by a point.
Yeah. Isn't it a good one where... You know, you probably noticed it, where the real epic games always had a cliffhanger at some stage or another. Like, you know, we've spoke there a couple of weeks ago about, you know, Frankie Dolan's performance against Kildare, and what a performance he put in that day against a quality Kildare team. Well, this was more or less the same, wasn't it, in many ways, as in, like, you know, it was a decisive score, like obviously against Kildare for Frankie Dolan, he scored some very decisive points. But I think in the Mayo game that day in 2001 in the Connacht final, that goal was the decider, really, wasn't it, in a lot of ways?
Well, surely it was, Aidan. The goal was the key score for Roscommon in the last, basically the last kick of the game, really. The whistle was blown when the ball was kicked out by Peter Burke, the Mayo goalkeeper. The referee was Seamus McCormack from Meath. And if Frankie Dolan was the hero of them qualifier games against Kildare and Offaly, and even in Kerry he played very well in the quarter-final, Gerry Lohan was the man of the hour in this Connacht final. You could nearly say it was Gerry Lohan's Connacht final, because he'll be the man that everybody will remember for scoring that last-minute goal. He also scored a goal 7 minutes from the end of normal time as well. So Gerry Lohan scored 2 goals and 2 points in the game. He was full forward. He was just 21, and he was terrific. Of course, Gerry made his name with Roscommon CBS in 1997 when they got to the All-Ireland final. And he went on to play with his brothers Stephen and Eddie for Kilbride and win the county final in the year 2000. And he was a great servant to Roscommon. Probably, like a lot of Roscommon players, Aidan, we didn't see enough of Gerry over the years. Like, he was a tremendous player, but he sort of left the scene pretty early as well, I would say. Maybe injuries came against him as well. So, like, but certainly in that game, Gerry Lohan, you know, he got 2 chances of goals, and he still had work to do. These weren't easy chances. He still had, for the winning goal, he had to take it round his man and fire it past. One of the great goalkeepers Mayo ever had was Peter Burke. You know, before David Clark, Peter Burke was top class goalkeeper, an all-star goalkeeper. So to beat Peter Burke twice towards the end of that game was amazing. And there was 30,000 people at the game. The Roscommon fans went ballistic, as you would expect, and rightly so. But Mayo,
I think it was the build-up, though. The build-up, like, because they really needed that goal just to get back into it, never mind win it. And I think the build-up from defence right through till the shot was executed, it was a real team goal, really, wasn't it?
It was, Aidan, and it was, time was up. The injury time had 5 minutes was allotted for injury time, and Alan Nolan got a line ball and he took it and he sent it in to Jonathan Dunning, who would come on as substitute. Jonathan from Clannagale Club, great player as well, and he was on the 2010 Roscommon team that we spoke about last week. He came on as sub in that Connacht final, so he has the distinction of coming on in 2 Connacht finals and winning medals on both occasions, and Roscommon won by a point in both days. But Jonathan Dunning took the pass from Alan Nolan. Alan Nolan was a great player for Roscommon. I had privilege to play with Alan in minor and under 21 and senior. for a while.
And I had the privilege of playing here, a teammate of mine at the Gales as well, and like you know, we all know his nickname is the Horse, and as you know from playing with him and playing against him, I suppose versus Kilbride and that, and as I know from playing with him as well, you know, he literally was a horse, because I suppose he was like a kind of Fergal O'Donnell in many ways. If once he had the ball, he was like a ball going through he'd go through the wall just to, you know, to get through, to get by, you know, and score points and things like that. He was a very strong player. He was like a bulldozer, really.
Well, I suppose that helped from his farming background, Aidan. You know, he was a strong man. Yeah. He was a man of the soil, Alan Nolan. One of the underrated players of Roscommon over the years, I think Alan was, you know.
He didn't get the credit he deserved, I think.
No,
you know,
I agree. And he was so professional in his approach. He was very dedicated, a great servant to Roscommon. And, you know, looking back on it, he's a player that's forgotten, really, in many ways. And I'm delighted he won his Connacht Senior Medal in 2001, and he played such an important role in setting up the goal for Gerry Lohan. But
and he was great. He was great in 92 as well, in that minor team as well, wasn't he? That you were featured on.
He was. He came on a sub in Croke Park against Armagh, and then he was on the minor team in 93 as well. We had a very good team in 93. We drew at Galway and Carrick in the first day, and we should have won it. Like, we were far better. And then the second game in Tuam the following week, there was controversial circumstances, but we didn't win. And Alan got concussed in that game. And I remember at the end of the game with Alan coming off the field, and like he got a bang on the head prior to the end of the game in Tuam. But Alan Nolan was a great servant to Roscommon football. He a model footballer, had his fair share of injuries too from time to time, as every county player does. You know, most players pick up niggles here and there. But Alan was a gentleman, very, very good teammate, very dedicated, very loyal servant. And
you could depend on him.
Absolutely. And if I was to compare him to a Premier League footballer, I'd compare him to James Milner. You know, he was a utility player. He was so strong, so fit. Good in the air, good on the ground, great left foot on him, could take a point with either foot. You could play him in the backs, midfield or forwards. You know, you could put him in any position.
And of course, he played Sigerson Cup for UCD as well. I don't think many people know that. He played great for Sigerson Cup that year, you know, when he was playing for UCD.
He did, and he won the Sigerson Cup in 1996. Yeah. Himself and Brian Duher were on that team, and you know, he was a great Brian Markham was on the Galway UCG team in 1992, but I know that Brian Duher and Alan were on that team from UCD in 1996. I think as well Kieran McManus from Offaly was on it, Aidan, who was again a superb footballer over the years, you know. So Alan was great, and of course his brother John played as well for many years with Roscommon. Good dedicated player too, very strong, both of them very, very strong. But Alan set up the pass for Jonathan Dunning, and Jonathan Dunning gave it to Dennis Gavin, who had made his way from the right full back position up into the attack, and he hand passed it to Gerry, and Gerry then took it past his marker and he rifled it low into the left hand corner of Peter Burke's net, and it just sent the whole Roscommon part of the stadium into raptures, just delirium. Oh, it was just brilliant, you know.
I was in, as I said, I was on the terrace that day, on that lone roadside. It was now the whole, literally, you're right, the whole, you could see that, you could feel the whole place vibrating with all the cheering. And I suppose it was the drama of the goal, but as I said there at the start, that the way it was a well worked goal from one end of the pitch to the other, and you know the there was nothing really, in fairness, Mayo could do. It was just so brilliantly worked up, and a brilliantly taken goal by a very good player as well at the end of it.
Absolutely, Gerry Lohan, one of the heroes of Roscommon football, and himself and Stephen and Eddie were great servants to Roscommon over the years. Yeah. And great lads as well, you know, very nice fellas, which was brilliant, you know, great role models for the fans and the young people looking on. And Gerry also got the other goal, Aidan, 7 minutes from time, and that was started by Michael Ryan in the left corner back position, and he had a great game that day, Michael Ryan, and he sent it to Paul Noon, and Paul Noon gave it to Gary Cox, who delivered it to John Hanley, and John Hanley delivered the final pass to Jerry Lohan. And again, Jerry showed his coolness, and he drove the ball low to the back of the net, and that set Roscommon up.
That's the thing, it's all about picking your spot, really, isn't it? Like, you know, and having the confidence to go for it. Because, you see, like, as I was saying about that dramatic goal at the end, you see so many moves like that in other games.
Yeah.
But it's just when it gets to that stage where the player with the ball pulls the trigger, just for one reason or another, it doesn't work out for them. Like in the final shot, it goes wide or it's stopped or something like that. So it just goes to show you the skill that the players involved in the build-up to it.
Well, Johnny Giles always had a saying that the great players do their stuff when needed. And Jerry Lohan was a great player. He got two chances of goals towards the end of that game, and Roscommon needed him, and he buried the two of them. You know, and you ask yourself, well, you know, if he got two goals, but Jerry had the belief and he had the skill to take those chances. You know, he took the whole responsibility upon his own shoulders, and he knew where the goals were. He didn't doubt himself. He backed himself both times, and he just buried them. Like, the goalkeeper had no chance on both occasions. And we were lucky to have players of that quality and calibre at the time playing in the forwards. Like, you had Jerry Lohan, you had Frankie Dolan. You know, you had match winners there that could... Nigel Dineen as well. Like, Nigel Dineen had a good chance in the first half, and Peter Burke saved it, you know, after 20 minutes. Yeah. So that we got a 45 from that. And, Jerry... You know, Nigel scored a great goal against Galway in the previous game over in Tuam. You know, he took a brilliant goal. And Frankie scored a great goal against Galway in the previous game as well. So, like, we had three great forwards there that could score goals. And Frankie and Nigel did it in the first round of the championship against Galway. And then Jerry did it in the final. And it just goes to show you, Aidan, that you can't rely on one man. You need three, four, five forwards that you know can put the ball in the back of the net, given a chance. And also,
it's about trust, really, isn't it? Like, you know, everyone trusting in each other.
Well, absolutely. It's very hard to win a final, and you have to have a good team to win a final, no matter what final you're in. So Roscommon had a good team. And what are the components of a good team? Collaboration, cooperation, good interplay, trust, reliance on each other, belief in each other, knowing each other, have an understanding, you know, that telepathy that comes with playing with each other for a long time, and training hard together. So all of those things are the components of a good team, and trust is certainly vital. You know, if you haven't got trust and knowing that you can rely on your teammate to take a pass and to finish it off. And you see sometimes in teams, lesser teams, where a player might not have the trust in another player and will go for the shot themselves and not give it to the player in the better position. But what you have in that situation, you don't really have a team. If you've got players that don't trust each other, you haven't got a team. You've got individuals then. You know, you have a problem. And invariably, those teams aren't successful. You know, components of a dysfunctional team or a team who's got ability or a collection of individuals is missed chances, players not getting the pass when they should get the pass, selfish play, and, you know, frustration. So, like, good teams have trust, they have reliability and understanding, and that's what Roscommon had in 2001 in an abundance, because we beat Galway in Tuam and we beat Mayo in Hyde Park. So Jerry Lohan got the two goals, Aidan. And even after Jerry got the first goal with 7 minutes to go, Mayo came right back into the game, and Francie Graham had an outstanding game for Roscommon at centre-back that day. But his marker, Kieran MacDonald, had a great game for Mayo. It's one of those rare occasions where two people marking each other have great games, and that can happen from time to time. So after Jerry
but
got
two, the... two legends of the game as well, because we all know, like, the sort of damage that Kieran MacDonald would have done down the years in his Mayo career, even from, like, minor under 16, minor under 21. He was always a very tricky player to mark. But no better fella than Francie to handle him.
Yeah, and Francie that year with John Tobin as manager gave him a license to attack, and he was a real secret weapon for Roscommon. Well, he was a secret weapon until he showed what he can do with his forays into attack, and he brought defenders out to meet him, which opened up spaces for other players, you know, and he was a good man to deliver a ball. So he gave Roscommon another sort of like a bow to their arrow, or, you know.
He was kind of like Michael Ryan. in a way, like, as you know, Michael Ryan kind of played in the full back line, corner back. But then, like, when you put Michael Ryan in the half back line, himself and Francie were very familiar because they were very good at coming forward and taking points. But the good thing about that, the two of them were, they knew when to come forward and when they needed to stay back, which, and that's key, especially for the half back line, isn't it?
Well, both of them had, you know, great ability, great fitness, great speed, great strength to go forward. And as you said there, they knew when to go forward, no one to go back. And they were very intelligent footballers. They knew if they went forward, that somebody in the half forward line would have to go back and cover for them, or midfielder. So Roscommon had that understanding. And one thing, Aidan, we talk about components of a great team, and it's one thing for me seeing half-backs going forward to score or to open up attacks. That's a great characteristic of a successful team. Like the great Galway team in the early 2000s or late 90s, like you had one side, you had Declan Meehan, the other side, you had Sean O'Dupere, both going up to take scores. And like in the 1982 All-Ireland final when Offaly beat Kerry in that famous game at Croke Park, the three Offaly half-backs scored in the first half. Pat Fitzgerald, Sean Lowry and Liam Curran's got the first score of the game. So like, you've got attacking half-backs that can go forward. They create overlaps. They create, you know, they bring defenders out to meet them. They create space. And it really is a great thing to see in a team where you've got half-backs that can go forward and you've got half-forwards then that will cover for them, or midfielders that can cover for them. And really and truly, you're opening up another line of attack. You've another weapon in your armoury. And the great teams, I find, like Dublin now. You see the Dublin team with Jack McCaffrey. I know there's talk of him retiring. But I saw the statistic. In 39 championship matches, he scored 4 goals and 16 points, which is incredible from right half-back. So the great half-backs, Sean O'Dupere, Jack McCaffrey, you know, Declan Meehan was a great half-back. You saw him going forward in the All-Ireland final in 2000, getting that great goal against against Kerry in the replay. It was an amazing goal. So Roscommon had brilliant defenders like Michael Ryan, Francie Graham, that could go forward and take a score. I remember Michael Ryan's debut in 1998 against Sligo and Hyde Park in the drawn match. And in the first half, Michael Ryan was playing right half-back and he went forward. He kicked 2 great points in the first half. It was absolutely brilliant, you know. So
I remember Michael Ryan at club for the Gaels as well. He was always very quick at doing that, like at intermediate, and then when he made it into the Gaels senior panel, he was very good at that. Like, you know, he, like we said there a few minutes ago, he was all, even at club level, he was very good at that. An intelligent reader of the game, he knew when to come forward and when he had to stay back. So, but like, you know, when he took it upon himself to come forward, there was no catching him. Like, you know, he was like a spring hare. Like there was no, he was like a racehorse. Once he took it upon himself to go forward, that's it. No one could stop him. Like, and you know, that's, he was very good. He was very good attacking, as well as defending as well.
And he was also a very good full back. In, you know, he was left full back that day. John White was full back, but Michael Ryan was a very good full back and a good half back. And it's great that he got his reward in 2001. You know, he got his Connacht Championship medal and he was outstanding in that Connacht final against Mayo. And, you know, he was part of a back line that contained no less than 3 Roscommon Gaels players, you know, Paul Noon, Clifford MacDonald and himself. So, like, you had Fergal O'Donnell as well, and Alan Nolan. So you had 5 Roscommon Gaels players involved in that team, which was great, you know, from your point of view.
But and Kieran Heenan in defence as well.
That was 98. Kieran was a fantastic player too. He wasn't there in 98. It's a pity. Kieran Heenan deserved a kind of championship senior medal. He didn't get one, I don't think. He was a great servant to Roscommon and a very good player. But like Stephen Lohan played that game as well against Mayo with Jerry. Like, so Eddie wasn't on the squad, but Stephen was left half forward on that team, and he was a great midfielder too, Stephen Lohan. Great servant to Scotland, great man, great leader as well, a fella that everybody looked up to. But Aidan, when Jerry Lohan got that first goal, it looked like Roscommon were in the driving seat. Then Kieran MacDonald scored that point to bring them back in, and Roscommon then were leading by a point. And then at the very last throw of the dice from Mayo, You remember Mayo got a goal. David Nestor, he was a substitute. Right, yeah. He scored a goal, and that put Mayo 2 points up with time up. And it looked for all the world that Mayo were going to win the game. And then they had possession towards the end of extra time as well, or end of injury time. Colin McManaman, who was their midfielder, was going up the field, and he lost possession. And Roscommon intercepted it, and of course Alan Nolan got the ball, line ball, and it went to Jonathan Dunning, to Dennis Gavin, and then to Jerry. So Mayo had possession, and they coughed up possession to their detriment, and Roscommon got a vital interception from Jerry Lohan, and took a great Connacht final victory from the jaws of defeat. So it was a brilliant win, masterminded by John Tobin, the Galway man, who came in and managed Roscommon in 2001. And by all accounts, I wasn't on the squad in 2001, but I heard that he was a great coach, and that a lot of his drills, Aidan, were all football-based. A lot of his training was football-based. Roscommon, I noted that year, were very, very sharp. Their skill level on the ball was very, very good. And as you said, they had that belief, that got confidence about themselves. You know, they were really, really good. Now, another man we have to remember, and Lord of mercy on his soul, the great Conor Kennelly, had a tremendous game for Roscommon that day. And all the papers talk about Conor having a great game. He scored the first point of the game, and Conor was wearing number 10 on that day, on the 1st of July 2001. And of course, at that time, he would have been playing his football with St Jude's in Dublin. He was training in Dublin at that time under Brian Talty. Brian Talty was the former Galway player, but he was a selector for Roscommon with John Tobin and his former Tuam Stars teammate. And he trained the Roscommon players who were based in Dublin.
That was the way it was too, because I remember like Fergal O'Donnell as well. He was when he was a guard in Dublin you know, that's something that had to happen, because otherwise it would have been a lot of travelling on players, because, you know, they do their day's work, then they have to face an hour and a half trip down to Roscommon and do training and go back after training for work the following day. And if you're doing that a few nights a week, that'll be very hard to do. So like that was a good day. And to have a player like Brian, have a coach like Brian Talty to train the players and the Dublin-based players was a masterstroke as well. And I think that was kind of contributed to the success that year as well.
Absolutely, Aidan. And it's hard enough being a county player without having to travel. I think the travelling that players have to do, if a county team demands them to be in the home county in the middle of the week, it's too much. And when players weigh it up, like their lifestyle, they have no lifestyle at all, no spare time. So at least if they're training in Dublin during the week, training's over at 9 o'clock or 9:30, at least they can go and have a coffee or go to the cinema, or they can do something afterwards rather than getting back home at maybe 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning. But Aidan, the Kerry team of the 70s and 80s under Mick O'Dwyer, they had a good few players based in Dublin, and Micheál O'Meara Hertig, the famous commentator, the legendary commentator, used to train the Dublin-based players out at UCD. Yeah. And like, for example, the legend Jack O'Shea, he was based in Leixlip in Kildare, so he was trained under Micheál O'Meara Hertig in Dublin. But it's a great idea that players train where they are, and it takes the burden off them. And you know, it was a great ploy by John Tobin that year to train the Dublin-based players in Dublin. And the rewards were there. They got a great Connacht final, one of the best ever. And if you know it, in Hyde Park over the years, Roscommon have lost so many Connacht finals to Mayo in the last few minutes, or even beaten very heavily. But it's nice to turn Mayo over in 2001. If you look at it, we lost the finals in Hyde Park to Mayo in 1985, 1989, 1988, 1993, and then we beat them in Hyde Park in 1991, that famous game where Derek Duggan scored all the points. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, and again we beat them in 2001 in the Connacht final, which was great. And I'm trying to think, and I don't know if Roscommon have ever played Mayo in a Connacht final since that in Roscommon. I don't think they have.
They played them 10 years ago, like in 2010.
In 2011. Yeah. You're right, Aidan. Yeah. And we lost that by a point or two. We could have won.
Yeah.
That's right, we did. We lost a game we could have won. That was the start of the Mayo dominance, the start of their five in a row.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I mean, in fairness to Mayo, though, like, you know, all through the noughties and into the, you know, from 2010 to up until recent years, well, to a lesser extent, recent years, you know, that Mayo team was so full of potential, and you know, to it, they had the players to win in All Ireland, and it was kind of a shame. But I suppose really during Dublin's dominance of the Sam Maguire Cup, you know, winning All Ireland, when you look over that last 5 years, when Mayo were getting to the last, what was it, four All Ireland finals or something when they played in,
yeah,
and most of them went to replays. I mean, out of all the counties around the country that played football, Mayo were the only ones that actually were able to give Dublin a game, even though Dublin lost or whatever, and it was unfortunate. You know, to be able, it takes a serious team to be able to stick with Dublin for 70 minutes and take them for, and then, you know, stick with them for another 70 minutes in a replay. Now, that takes some play. Obviously, you know, Kerry did it in last year's All-Ireland. So it's just a shame, I suppose, when you consider the quality the players have had over the last 20 years, that they never won at least one All-Ireland.
It's a shame, Aidan, you know, and they went toe-to-toe with Dublin every year they played. Like, if you look at it, Mayo lost, I think, to the All-Ireland champions every year from 2012 to 2017. In 2012, they lost to Donegal in the final by 2 points. In 2013, they lost the final by a point to Dublin. In 2014, they lost the semi-final to the All-Ireland champions, Kerry, by 2 points down in Limerick. In 2015, they lost a replayed semi-final to Dublin by a point or two as well, and they led by 5 points in that extra time game. In 2016, they lost the final to Dublin by a point or two as well. And then in 2017, they lost the replay. They drew in 2017, and then they lost the replay by a point as well. So, like,
the one thing you'd have to admire about them, though, is, despite all those losses, they kept coming back. You know, they were like relentless. You know, it is very, you know, a county level, you know, it is hard to come back when you've lost an All-Ireland semi-final or a final or even a Connacht final. It's very hard to come back from that disappointment and give the level of commitment that's required to compete, never mind to win, but just to compete.
Yeah. You know,
but to do that relentlessly year after year and no rewards after it, like, because, you know, some people would say, you know, it's just a game of football. But really, when you're a player and you know what you've put into it from the start of January until that point, and when you get to a final and you put so much effort into getting there, and then you come away with nothing, it's nearly like, you know, you'd be nearly as well off to losing the first round as you know, because it's so heartbreaking. So, I mean, that takes great spirit to come back year after year after being beaten in All Ireland finals and semi finals to keep coming back to the front table, doesn't it?
Well, it does, Aidan. But if you look at the players they had, the great players like the Lee Keegans, the Tom Parsons, Andy Moore, and David Clark, Colin Boyle, you know, Killeen O'Connor, tremendous, tremendous footballers, you know, David Vaughan, you know, they were great footballers. Keith Higgins, what a player. But Aidan, you look at Mayo, it's like Roscommon, except Mayo is about twice the size of Roscommon and is probably three times the population. But like ourselves, they are fanatical football people. And
yeah,
anyone that plays for Mayo is similar to Roscommon. You play for the honour of your county. And you play, first of all, you play for yourself, you play for your family, you play for your county, you play for the supporters. And what you want to do when you play for your county is you want to bring them success, you want to bring enjoyment to the county, the fans. That's what motivates, I would imagine, most county players. They have their own
personal... It's like an addiction.
It is. They have their own personal ambitions. And you have to. You have to have that personal ambition. But you want to pool that ambition with your teammates under the banner of your county team to wear the green and gold of the blue and gold of Roscommon or the green and red of Mayo. So these players that I've named there, the real, real heroes of Mayo football that haven't got an All-Ireland medal, they brought so much honour to their county even though they lost all those finals. And when the history of Mayo football is written up, you know, in that era, they'll be rated as some of the greatest players that ever played for Mayo. And the fans will recognise them as great players, and they'll recognise all the joy, the entertainment, and the great days out and performances that they gave to their supporters. So I wouldn't say losing the first round of the championship, they would accept it. I would personally, I'd rather lose five All-Ireland finals than never appear in one. You know, I would like to play it in one final, even if we lost it, because an All-Ireland final is like a movie. It's got two great protagonists. It's got a referee, it's got TV, it's got an audience. And like, you might lose, if you have gone out there and you've given your best shot and you fall short, you're still part of that epic. You know, you're still part of the, you know, you're still part of the, of the.
Well,
of the
I suppose of, as of a the, player though, you don't say, you know, just after you lose, no, you don't really actually, at the, in the moment, you don't see it that way. It's only after when you have time to reflect. I suppose that's what gets the player too coming back, is that they want to come back the following year to put the record straight and say, right, next year we're going to put it right with the next, you know, with a new pan, with the same panel or with a few additions to the panel or change of management, whatever it takes, you know, that they're going to, they'll work that extra bit harder because they, I suppose, you know, the heartbreak of losing in All-Ireland is the driving force that can go on and win you the next All-Ireland the next year.
Well, Aidan, like, don't get me wrong, and this is the way, you know, certain defeats can either make you or break you as a person. One person can look at a defeat and say, that's me, I'm gone, I'm throwing my hat at it, I've had enough. Another person can say, I'm not going to let that finish me off. That's going to drive me on, as you said there, drive you on again.
I suppose it depends on what stage of your career you're at as well. Like, I mean, if you're coming near the end, you're kind of saying, well, I don't want to end my career on this note. I want to go out in a winning, you know, in a winning way. You know, there's that to it too. But I suppose if you're kind of young or you have the enthusiasm to say, right, well, I've plenty of years in me, and we're bound to win something at the, you know, at some stage, you know, which I suppose it depends on who you're playing for. But there was no need to doubt that, like, with the quality that Mayo were, you know, there was always reason for optimism with the sort of players they had over the last 20 years that the, you know, it was just unfortunate.
But look at the football they played in all those finals. They played really good football. In all of those years from 2012 to 2017, they played really, really good football. Like, they were within a hair's breadth of winning All-Irelands. Like, we talk about the great Dublin team. They won five in a row. But they won maybe four of those by a point or two. You know, the only game that they steamrolled really was Tyrone. That wasn't a competition. You know what I mean? Tyrone didn't challenge them really at all in that game. But the other finals that Dublin won, they beat Kerry by 3 points in 2015 in a tight game, and they were lucky because Kerry should, in my opinion, should have got a penalty towards the end of that game. Like, last year, they scraped past Kerry in the replay, and Kerry should have won the drawing game, in my opinion. And then they beat Mayo in 2016 and 17, you know, by the minimum, bare minimum, by the skin of their teeth, as my old teacher used to say. And in 2012, they just scraped past, Donegal just scraped past them. Like, Donegal got two goals early on, and after that, Mayo dominated possession. So, like, they were great players. The fans from Mayo will talk about that team in 50 years' time, in 40 years' time. The same way, Aidan, we didn't win the All-Ireland in 1980, but like, we still look at those players that played for Roscommon against Kerry in 1980. They won four Connacht championships in a row. They gave the fans so much entertainment, so much enjoyment, so many days out in Croke Park. Look at the players: Dermot Airlie, Michael Finneran, you know, Tony McManus, Eamon McManus, Gay Sheeran, Pat Lindsay, Harry Keegan, Jerry Kennellan, you know, Seamus Hayden, Aidan Dooley. Those guys they're still John O'Gara, they're still heroes, John O'Connor. We still talk about them 40 years on because of the great entertainment, the enjoyment that they gave to the fans. They're legends. And they're still talked about in other counties. You know, other counties recognise them as the great talents that they were. Danny Murray, Jerry Fitzmaurice, Jerry Kinnellan. Wonderful, wonderful footballers. And because they didn't win in All-Ireland, you know, it doesn't diminish their greatness. They're still great men, great footballers that served Roscommon so well. Tom Heenan, a great manager. You know, they just fell short against Kerry on the day. But say with Mayo, they didn't win in All-Ireland. Not everybody can win it. It's a shame. But they were there. And they went toe-to-toe with the greats. And if you can go toe-to-toe with the greats, that means you're not far off being great yourself. And Mayo weren't far off being great. They were very, very close to greatness. And, you know, that's football. That's life, Aidan, isn't it? You know, they were just, you know, they were nearly over the top of the hill. You know, they nearly saw the promised land and they just got caught short. And, you know, even last year, Mayo, like they beat Donegal in the quarterfinal in Castlebar. You know, Donegal didn't show up and Mayo used all their old guile, their grit, their determination, their skill. The Andy Mornings are still there. You know, they still got over the line and got to the semi-final. And against Dublin in the first half last year in the semi-final, they were probably leading at half-time. They put in everything in the first half. They were absolutely brilliant. And there was glimpses in that half of the great Mayo teams that had played, you know, from 2011 to 2017, but in the second half, Father Time caught up with them. They just hadn't got the legs to live with Dublin, and Dublin just blew them out of the water. And it showed that was Mayo, the great team they were, like Seamus O'Shea, Andy Morden, you know, all those great players, Colin Boyle, Lee Keegan, that the legs, Keith Higgins, Time had caught up with them. You know, they were just, you know, they weren't able for Dublin in the second half, and that's the first time they weren't able for Dublin. So it does beg the question, are they going to be able? But you never know. This year, Aidan, in a knockout championship this year, you just don't know. Like Mayo, all those games Mayo had over the last couple of years that come to the back door, you know, against us and against other teams, Donegal and that, Super 8s. You never know. Mayo in a one-off game, you just don't know. Those lads may have enough in a one-off game to create a shock. I don't know if they can, but you never know. Who knows? In a one-off, Aidan,
I think that's the situation. That's the great thing of the straight knockout championship is anything can happen. And I suppose you could nearly compare it to an FA Cup match. Anything can happen. Like the Minnows could beat the Giants. You know, just as much as, you know, the Giants would beat the Minnows. You know, anything can happen on a given day, because, you know, I suppose with sometimes if a big team is playing a lower down team, you know, sometimes I suppose the big team can go in with a certain amount of complacency, which is dangerous in sport, in any sport, be it soccer or Gaelic football or hurling or in any sport, rugby or anything. If the time you go into a game thinking, oh, it's just a matter of talking out, you're in a very dangerous situation. But I think like in Gaelic football, that doesn't tend to happen though.
You mean complacency?
Yeah.
Well, you can see it from time to time with teams that, not time, now the great teams don't, like Dublin were never complacent under Jim Gavin. Kerry were rarely complacent. You know, they always went in and respected the opposition. It's very dangerous to sort of accuse a team of complacency. But you can from time to time see in soccer, in football,
complacency. That's what I love about Gaelic compared to, don't get me wrong, I love soccer as well, but you don't, that's kind of the point I was making. You don't see complacency as much in Gaelic football as you do in soccer.
No, and because generally teams are very, lads in Gaelic football are very humble, they're amateur players, they recognise that they have responsibility on their shoulders to represent their county to the best of their ability. The jersey is so important once that all those players should realise that they're only stewards of that jersey. That jersey is going to be handed back and handed over to some other player in the future. So you've only got a loan of the jersey, and when you got that loan, you might have it for 1 year, you might have it for 15 years. But those guys that take on that jersey, they know in Gaelic football and hurling that the fans and the supporters in the county demand and want them to play to the best of their ability in that jersey. And we're fortunate in Roscommon that players do, by and large, give it their best. You know, and that's all you can ask of a player. Especially this team under Anthony Cunningham, like last year. Like, they were terrific, you know. They punched above their weight against Mayo, against Galway. And even in the Super 8s, they did pretty well. And a little bit more belief in some of the games in the Super 8s, we could have got more scores at vital times, you know, particularly goals. You know, and we're down to Cork and beat Cork in the last game of the Super 8, which I think was very significant. But you talked there about the knockout Aidan, this year. And one thing, it'll be interesting to see how the knockout goes, because if you have a very, very good knockout All-Ireland, and say, for example, Roscommon and Cork upset everybody and got to the All-Ireland final on Christmas week in the football, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be brilliant? Yeah. And I think if that happened, I think there would be a clamour within the fan base all over Ireland to open up the game to a knockout and maybe, you know, go back. Because, do you know what, Aidan? It's more equality in that. You know, there's more equal chance, because the Super 8s makes it more predictable and weighted in favour of the Dublins, the Kerrys, you know, the big guns. Like, you might beat Dublin once, but you're not going to beat them twice in the Super 8. Or you might, you know, it's very difficult to beat them twice. So, like, like, theoretically, we could be in the Super 8 next year with Dublin and beat them in the Super 8, but then, you know, if we got them in a semi-final or whatever, it'd be very hard to go and beat them again. You know, that sort of way. As we found in this very year of 2001, we beat Galway in the first round. We beat Mayo in the Connacht final. And then we were up against Galway again in the quarter final, which that was terrible. And the rules changed after that, which meant that if you met a team in your province, you couldn't meet them again in the quarter final. Because these teams at that level, Aidan, there's not an awful lot between them. And a lot of times it's psychological or it's all on the day. Like, Roscommon and Mayo, that Roscommon and Mayo game in 2001 in the Connacht final, like, Mayo were a good team. We could meet them the following week in Castlebar and they could beat us by 5 points, you know. So, like, it's all on the day in the final. And, like, if we had to play Galway again in 2001, the quarter final, which was, like, it was terrible for Roscommon. We didn't show up in the quarter final in Castlebar, but it's very hard to motivate yourself. And the old saying, the old cliche, it's hard to beat the same team twice in a championship. And if we had the old provincial situation happen that year, Tyrone won the Ulster Championship. And, like, they were only building at that time. Mickey Hart hadn't come in. You know, they struggled against Cavan in the Ulster final. And Art McGrory was the manager, along with Eugene McKenna. So that wasn't a brilliant Tyrone team. That was still a lot of the old guard. The new guys hadn't come in that had played under Mickey Hart later on, like the Mulligans and, you know, all those young players like Ryan McMenamin and people like that. They hadn't come in. So, like, Roscommon would have had a chance against Tyrone in the semi-final. And the other side, the Munster champions, of course, were Kerry, and the Leinster champions in 2001 were Meath. So Kerry and Meath would still have met, and Roscommon and Tyrone would have met. So we would have had a chance of beating Tyrone in the semi-final to get to an All-Ireland final. Whereas going around the qualifiers, you know, made it a lot harder. So, like, you know, it'd be interesting to see how the championship goes in 2020. And if I would like to see, even if, say, Cavan and maybe, let me see, Cavan and Kildare, if they got to the All-Ireland final, would that be great this year? You know, if a shock of shocks happened, where big guns were knocked down or they weren't prepared properly and they got knocked out, that would be fantastic. And it would make it very interesting. I think there'd be a big clamour and a big noise to restore the knockout championship next year if it's very successful this year with new teams causing shocks in.
That's it, because, I mean, if you look at Kildare over, like, don't get me wrong, they were in that trough period for a good few years. I suppose they were never themselves since that 98 kind of team, you know, that lost to Galway in the All-Ireland final. But, you know, they had a lean period there for a while. But now they're starting to, like, dine again at the top table, and that could have been seen there 2 seasons ago when they played Mayo in the qualifiers. Like, it just goes to show you that they are coming back. But I think in Leinster, I should say, you know, really in Leinster, the Leinster needs Meath back at the top table as well. Like, you know, when you look back at the days of, you know, Tommy Dow, Colm O'Rourke, Graham Geraghty, Trevor Giles, all these players, they were cracking mid, they were brilliant Meath teams. Hard but fair. I think they're missing, I think Leinster is missing that type of Meath team, aren't they?
Well, Meads, they got that Leinster final victory against Louth in 2010, the time Joe Sheridan scored the goal, in inverted commas. And really and truly, since that age, they've not figured at all. You know, they have, they've had new managers, they've had Mick O'Dowd, they've had Andy McEntee, they had Eamon O'Brien. You know, they've gone through the managerial routine as well. I think Eamon Barry was there with them for a while as well. So, like, prior to 2010. So, like, they've had their fair share of managers. Of course, Banty McEnany was with them, you know. So, like, they've gone through it and they haven't produced the same calibre of players as they had in the 80s, as you mentioned there, like the Gerry McEntees, Bernard Flynn's, Stafford O'Rourke, Liam Hayes. Like, they were a once-in-a-generation team. Like, they were an incredible bunch of players. So, but Meath have gone through troughs before and come back. Like, Meath won their first All-Ireland in 1949, and they won again in 54. And I was talking to a man there during the week, and they said that Meath have the record, Aidan, for defending champions of the Sam Maguire Cup to lose by a record score in the following year's championship. Do you know? Yeah. They won in 1954. They won the All-Ireland. And then they lost to Dublin, I think, in the Leinster final in 55 by 5-12 to 7 points. They lost by 20 points to Dublin. Imagine that, the reigning All-Ireland champions beaten by 20 points the following year. It wouldn't be heard of now, but that's what happened. Dublin in 55 had a good team. They had a roving. Dublin brought in new tactics in the 50s. Kevin Heffernan, who became the manager later, he was a full forward and he started a roving commission out the field, and he took Meade's full back, Paddy O'Brien, out. And Paddy O'Brien was a very, very good under the high ball, and they exposed the Meath two-man full back line, and they got 5 goals, you know. So, but Dublin won the Leinster Championship. They then drew at Mayo in the semi-final and lost to Kerry in the final. But that was Meath, and Meath had all with a great tradition of fullbacks. Like, they had Paddy O'Brien in the 40s and 50s. Then in the 60s, they had Jack Quinn, who was a great fielder of the ball. And then they had Mick Lyons. And then they had Darren Fay. But they haven't they haven't really had a good fullback since. So all those Meath teams that won All-Irelands, they always had a good fullbacks. And until, in my opinion, the Meath fullback is a household name that rolls off the tongue of every man, woman and child in the country, they won't win in All-Ireland. Because, look, at the Meath will surely be back. But you talked about Kildare. Kildare, I think, are the sleeping giants. They have they have the potential. Like that great game against Kildare, against Mayo in the Newbridge or Nowhere game in 2018. That was a great win. They put them into the qualifiers, or the Super 8s rather. And they had good wins there. Like, they were lucky to lose to Kerry. I think they beat Galway. And they played Monaghan as well. So, like, Kildare were a team that have potential. They've got big, big men, like Tommy Moolock, Darrell Flynn. You know, they've got big, big players. And, like, it looked like Kieran O'Neill was going to take them places, but now he's gone, and they've a new manager now.
He's with Cork, I think. Kieran O'Neill has gone down to Cork now. I think he's a selector with the Cork team. But suppose, really, when you look back at those kind of, you know, the early to mid-90s, you know, those Dublin Meath clashes where, you know, there was some very close finishes either way. You know, that real rivalry that's, you know, remember the 1991 went to four replays. Nowadays when Meath played Dublin, it's just Dublin all the way, like, you know. And I think if we could get Meath back to the way they were in the 90s, you know, it would make for a better Leinster Championship, wouldn't it?
It would, Aidan. And I was just thinking there during the week about Gerry Lohan's goal in 2001, you know, the move that led to it, you know. And the Meath goal in 2001 against Dublin, the Kevin Foley goal, you remember that great goal that won the game for them in the fourth match? That reminded me of the Gerry Lohan's goal reminded me of that goal. If you recall that goal, Kevin Foley and Tommy Dowd, they just cut through the Meath, the Dublin defence like butter. And there's another thing that came to my mind during the weekend, and I know it might sound outlandish to certain quarters and players and fans in the GAA, but it gets to me that, you know, that if we go with the qualifiers and go with the Super 8s, it's so weighted in favour of the big guns, you know. And I was just thinking, like, in the COVID-19 situation there, you hear all the time about these guys who are able to model, you know, this modelling. They come up with figures of what they think the levels of COVID, you know, rates will be and all that. And the governments make decisions based on the figures that these guys have crunched the numbers, and the statisticians, if you like, they then model, give models on the figures that's going to be infections and whatnot, and government then makes decisions. For example, like in England, they set up all these mobile hospitals based on the figures that these university professors and, you know, scholars were giving them on the model. But I was just thinking, Ed, myself during the week, like if you take, let's say, Leitrim playing Galway in the Championship in Connacht, Galway top of Division 1, Leitrim, you know, may hold in their own in Division 3. But let's face it, Galway are 10 to 12 points a better team than Leitrim. Yeah. I think you'd accept that. Based on the form over the last 3 years, and I would take, look at forms of teams over a 3-year period and model the team every year based on their form. So, like, I would say that Galway play Leitrim in the first round of the Championship. They're not, but if they were, I would be saying, well, Galway are playing Sligo. Right, take the Galway-Sligo example this year. Galway top of Division 1, Sligo struggling in Division 4. Sligo have beaten Galway by cricket scores the last couple of years. Like, let's face it, this year, Galway in the first round of the Championship would probably beat Sligo by about 15 points. And I'm thinking to myself, these modellers or these statisticians, the GAA maybe, if they could even try this, give Sligo a 6-point start. That's what I would think. Give them a 6-point, give them something to compete for. Because based on their scores over the last few years, they're not going to compete with Galway. Now, next year, Sligo might have a brand new team with whole new players and do very well in Division 4 and get promoted to Division 3. And at the end of the league, I'd say, right, Sligo are getting a 3-point lead against Galway. That sort of way.
Kind of like what Longford and Leitrim in the lower divisions have been doing in the league, and maybe, I suppose, to a lesser extent, in the Championship the last couple of years, you know, because, as I said, kind of last week, I think I touched on it about Longford and Leitrim, that they're up and coming in that, at that level, like in those divisions, you know, that team would be the same in this case as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and like I was talking about, we were talking about the All-Stars last week, and, you know, I was going on about the All-Stars always going to the top teams, though, that maybe the two teams that play in the All-Ireland final. It's like, that would be like the Olympic Committee picking the best boxer from the Olympic Games solely from the heavyweight category, meaning the flyweight, the bantamweight, the middleweight, the cruiserweight, the welterweight, all of these guys are totally ignored. No matter how good they are in their own area, their own division, how well they perform, they're totally ignored. The heavyweight boxers are going to get the All-Stars. And that's the way it is in the GAA. The heavyweight boxers get the All-Stars. Dublin's the Kerry's, the Tyrone's. Like, we Roscommon last year, I repeat this pretty regular, but I just don't get how Roscommon did not win at least one All-Star last year for the performances they put in. They punched above their weight. They took out Galway, they took out Mayo, performed pretty well in the Super 8s. Conor Cox and Niall Daly, I know they got nominated, but in my book, they were All-Stars. Now, I'm just throwing this out as an idea, Aidan, that the GAA Championship is totally lopsided. It really only starts whenever the semi-finals or quarter-finals or the Super 8 start, because you have Clare playing, maybe, you know, Waterford playing Kerry, or you have Leitrim playing, Sligo playing Galway, Leitrim playing Mayo, you know, you have Antrim playing Tyrone. These games are lopsided. They're recipes. Carlow against Dublin, Wicklow against Dublin. Now, give these guys a sporting chance. And I would say, if Wicklow were to play Dublin next week in the first round of the Championship, I'd be giving Wicklow a 10-point lead in Croke Park. Yeah. I would be giving Laois against Dublin, I'd be giving Laois a 6-point lead. I'd be giving Wexford an 8-point lead against Dublin. Now, Dublin are still going to win those matches and win them pretty comprehensively. But, like, I would be saying, give them a lead. Now, it might sound preposterous to make that suggestion, but if you look across the sports handicaps are in sports, in horse racing, they're in golf at local, at the ordinary levels, they're in golf. You have weight divisions in boxing. You know, you have tier one and tier two in rugby. You have, you know, I think that you have guys qualified to look at performances and models of performances for teams over a period of maybe 2 years or even during the league. I haven't got the detail worked out. I'm only coming up with the, throwing out that suggestion. But I think to give teams some sort of hope, give them a few points of a start. And if Roscommon met Dublin in the quarterfinals, Aidan, for example, Roscommon should have a 6-point lead on Dublin in Croke Park. That's my opinion.
That's it, because, I mean, it was only a couple of years ago where Roscommon played Dublin in Dr. Hyde Park in a league game. I know, really, technically, you can't really compare a league game to a championship game. But Roscommon could have won that day on a very wet day in Dr. Hyde Park. Roscommon could have won that game.
They could. And the reason I say this about Croke Park and Dublin, Aidan, is because Croke Park in and of itself is worth about 10 points to Dublin in a lot of games. Not against Kerry, not against Mayo, not against the top table, but against the weaker counties. Because they've got so much experience in Croke Park, this is their home venue, they know every blade of grass in it. Like, Roscommon play there intermittently. Mayo play pretty regular. Galway play pretty, not that often, Galway being Croke Park recently. So, like, Sligo never be in it. So, like, Wicklow play in Dublin in the first round of the championship. Like, you're looking at, you know, it's not a game. It's not a contest. So, like, to get rid of these, even Longford play Dublin isn't a contest. Louth, Carlow, Offaly, Laois, Wexford, Kildare are still starting way behind Dublin. Meath, way behind Dublin. These teams should have a lead going into those games to balance it up. And it might sound preposterous, but it would give teams a chance to compete. And say if we're in the All-Ireland final against Kerry, for argument's sake, we have a four point lead before the game starts, and we end up losing to Kerry in the actual game by 3 points, but we still get to Sam Maguire by a virtue of a point. Do you know? I think that's fair. That's fairness. That sport is about fairness. Sport is about giving people a sporting chance to be successful. Now, the alternative to that is have the top tier and the second tier as the GAA are proposing to go along with. That's the other alternative. You know, I think it's a done deal now. There's going to be a top tier and a second tier championship. But I would say, all right, give that a run. But if it doesn't work out and the teams want to get back up to the top, I still think, I'm only throwing this out there as an idea. I'm not saying it should be done, but maybe discuss it. Handicap system is not an unusual thing in sport. It's quite common in certain sports, like in horse racing, as I said, golf, and you have it in, you know, weight divisions in boxing. So, like, give people a chance, and it's an idea, and let people talk about it. I know it'll be shot down by an awful lot of people, but I think there's merit in it. And at the end of the day, the big guns, Aidan, are still going to win 9 times out of 10, even facing a deficit, you know. So it's a way of getting...
I think really Gaelic football at the moment needs a shock.
It needs something, it needs an injection. Like, when we have, the only shocks we've had recently is in Connacht. Connacht's probably been the most competitive championship. Like, Roscommon beat Mayo, Roscommon beat Galway last year, which was brilliant. Like, how many other teams in Leinster, Ulster or Munster are creating shocks like that? It's not happening. Do you know, it's a procession for the favourites. Like, Monaghan, okay, they got shocked by Fermanagh a couple of years ago. But, like, Donegal, it was a procession last year, Donegal against Cavan, you know, Dublin. Procession.
I think the last time in Leinster that happened was in 97 with Offaly. Remember, Offaly won the Leinster title.
But
Offaly were very good that year.
But here's the thing, Aidan. Meath had come off the 3 games in a row with Kildare in the semi-final. And they had lost I think two, they had lost maybe three or four of their first team players. I know Martin O'Connell was one of them. So Meath went into that game seriously restricted. Do you know, they were down a lot of their first team players. And Offaly were a coming team, and Offaly beat them fair and square. Offaly played great football. So Meath were missing three or four of their players, and Offaly hammered them, really. They really did. But Offaly were a coming team that good players, that won the National League the following year, and they won the Leinster Championship. But if you took four or five of the Dublin players off, like Meath had lost that day, like Dublin would be a different team. You take Jack McCaffrey off the Dublin team, you take Brian Fenton off the Dublin team, you take, let me see, Stephen Cluxton, Johnny Cooper, Paul Mannion. Dublin are seriously restricted if you take four or five players off them. And Meath were missing four or five players that day in the Leinster final. So the shock, okay, Offaly was a shock for them to win. Nobody expected them to win. But if you look at the Meath team, they were very restricted in who they had in terms of personnel on the day. So, but I'm only saying that idea, and I'm just throwing it out there because it's really, when you were discriminating against, say, half the teams competing in the championship by putting them into a second division, which they merit, because let's face it, they're not going to be competitive at the top level, but we don't want to be in a situation where we're discriminating against 16 counties who are quite entitled to play for the Sam Maguire. I think everybody is entitled to play for the Sam Maguire, same way as everybody in England is entitled to play for the FA Cup. Even the minnows in the lower echelons of English football have the right to play for the FA Cup. You know, they might get knocked out in the first round, the second round, but like Plymouth Argyle were a fourth division team there a few years ago in 1984. Or a third division team, and they got to the semi-final. You know, shocks can happen. So every team has a right. Chesterfield almost got to the final in 97. They had a goal disallowed against Middlesbrough, and they were the third division. Like, they should have got to the final. So Swindon Town won the League Cup in the 70s and in the 60s, and they were Division 3. So, like, you know, shocks can happen. But I think lowering a massive, if you like, contingent of footballers to a second grade of a Gaelic football tournament demotivates them, and they say they know they're not going to play for the Sam Maguire. And there's a big thing in just being saying I played for the Sam Maguire Cup, and I think that's something that it's going
every
to be.
Every player wants to play at the elite level.
They do, Aidan.
Yeah, even though they mightn't be, you know, the Leitrims and those type of teams, it's hard for them to compete. But they still want to, as you just said there, they just want the satisfaction of having competed at that level.
Absolutely, yeah. And my idea, my proposal there to you is, let Leitrim play in the Connacht Championship and Sligo, but give Sligo an 8 or 9 point lead against Galway, right? Yeah. Galway have 8 or 9 points to make up against Sligo, and if they're good enough, they will do that, because they should do it. Like they have Division One status.
And I mean, if you look at Galway, the serious player, I mean, they have Damien Comers back in the squad. You have, you know, the talent. You have talent right throughout that Galway starting 15 at the moment, you know.
Yeah, even like in American football, Aidan, it's very equal in terms of the budgets and caps and salaries and players and teams buying players and draft. Well, they don't buy them; they draft them every year from the universities, and there's a certain formula involved in that, so that the reigning and Super Bowl champions can't necessarily get the best players. So they sort of like try to make an equilibrium in the system, so that most teams have an opportunity to compete for the Super Bowl every year. And that's why, okay, apart from the New England Patriots over the last few years, but you by and large have, you know, new champions in the Super Bowl in America, which, let's face it, that's their All-Ireland. They have new champions in the Super Bowl pretty regular. Like this year, it was the Kansas City Chiefs that won the Super Bowl. Like, they were nobody a couple of years ago, but they won it this year. Yeah. That's like maybe Clare come and win in the Sam Maguire. Do you know? But they have system built in the American football where the lesser teams get benefits that can balance it out with the top teams on a year-by-year basis in terms of recruitment, in terms of money and all of that. And I think that's what makes it exciting, and that's what keeps it going. Like, but here it's so predictable that we know what's going to happen in a Super 8 system or a qualifier system. You're going to have the heavyweights are going to get to the final or the last four. But a knockout championship, we might have a chance of having an outsider. But in a handicap system where teams get starts, you know, point starts on oppositions, I think you never know. You could have a shock. And it's just a proposal, an idea that I thought about during the week when I know I was going to talk to you tonight, and it says I put it out there. It's just another idea. It might seem to people as outlandish, but I don't think when you look at sport, what's sport about? Sport's about everybody having a sporting chance on a pretty regular basis. At the moment, very few have a sporting chance of winning Sam Maguire. Well, and then I know the argument could be thrown at us and said, well, very few teams have a sporting chance of winning the Premier League. But like Leicester won it there a few years ago, you know. All right, it's fair enough. But the Premier League is lopsided, Aidan. It's lopsided in favour of the heavyweights. Liverpool, United, City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs. They have the money. So once you have the money, it's always going to be lopsided in soccer. They would never agree to.
As well as that, they have the not only have the money, but they also have the potential for winning titles as well. Like, I mean, if you're a player from, I know we're going off GAA, but if you're a player coming from France, for example, coming from Paris Saint-Germain, you know, for lower down teams in the Premier League, it's very hard for them to attract the real quality players. But for the likes of Liverpool, you know, they've been knocking on the door the last couple of years for winning the league, and they've done that this year. But also last year, they're also there or thereabouts in Europe. I mean, the 2 years ago they got to the Champions League final and they lost to Real Madrid. Last year they got to the final and they won it. So, like, for a team coming from a player coming from abroad, they say, oh yeah, we go to Liverpool because they look at the squad that Liverpool has and they say, God, they have Mo Salah, they have a world-class goalkeeper, they have Van Dijk and all that. And what player wouldn't like to play for a team of, like, Liverpool, who not only have the history, but they also have the ability to win trophies at some level every year, you know?
Yeah.
And whereas we say the likes of a lower down team, we say this season we say the likes of Norwich.
Yeah,
they're in dire straits. They're never going to attract the world class players because the world class players want to be playing in Europe every year.
Absolutely, so
it's kind of like that comparison in Gaelic football, you know, obviously in a different way, but the same principle.
Yeah, the strong are going to be strong. As well as that, Aidan, like I've spoken there about giving teams advantages in terms of points in games. You look at the resources that they have, look at the population, look at the sponsorship, all of that. Like, Roscommon is a remarkable county. In 2016, we had in the Republic of Ireland the fifth lowest population. 65,000 people. Only Monaghan, and they're a great county as well, Monaghan. Monaghan has 60, we've 65, Monaghan has 64. Sligo 64, Monaghan have 61, and then you have Carlow, Leitrim, and Longford. So Roscommon is one of the smallest counties in the country in terms of population, in terms of people to pick from in their team. And, you know, like Roscommon, you have to hand it to Roscommon and Monaghan, they're punching above their weight, they're competing at the very top with limited population.
It's more like with Roscommon, it seems to be more about quality than quantity. So even though we don't have the quantity, we seem to have the quality.
We do it, but we have the passion for the game. People in Roscommon, I don't know any part of Roscommon that aren't passionate about football. You know, maybe some of the hurling areas I'm not that familiar with, but anywhere in the football area I know, people are passionate. They talk about Roscommon football all the time. They talk about the team. They talk about who's in, who's out, who's going to be the new manager, who's the up-and-coming player. You know, your town in Roscommon town, the county town, lovely town. Yeah. People are passionate about football. Down here in Rooski, where I'm from, people are crazy about football. Tarman Barry up the road, Kilmore down the road, you know, Strokes Town, all those towns. They're passionate, and when you've got passion for the game, it engenders that belief and passion into the youngsters coming up, and they want to, you know, play for the county. And that's me and you growing up. All you want to do is emulate the players that played for your club and for your county. And the one thing I remember being in talking to Archbishop Dermot Clifford a few years ago, and he was the Archbishop of Cashel. You all remember him? He used to present the minor cup and the All-Ireland final. And the Archbishop of Cashel always presents the Minor Cup, or always did. You know, it was a tradition passed down from Archbishop Croke. He was the Archbishop of Cashel, and of course a patron of the GA, and Croke Park is named after him. But Archbishop Clifford, I met him one day, and he's from Kerry, and I said to him, why is it that Kerry are so successful at football? And he said to me, he says, every young fella growing up in Kerry, he says, 99 out of 100, he says, all they ever dream of as kids is growing up to play for Kerry and wear the jersey. And like, he says, they have the passion. But Kerry have the passion, but we have the same level of passion in Roscommon, except for it, and we've probably got third of the population of Kerry. Do you know what I mean? They've got such a population. If we had, I might have said to you last week, imagine if we had 150,000 people in Roscommon, another 70,000 people available to play, you know, to pick from football. Imagine all the other players we'd have, you know, on the law of averages, we would be the same as Kerry. We'd be the same as, you know, we would be so there all the time, you know, in terms, just by weight of critical mass of numbers and the pick available to you. Let's face it, it's clear, the bigger the pick you have, the better chance you have of having a strong team. There's no question about that. That's just, you know, a statistic. But Kerry have a big pick, Mayo have a big pick, Galway, massive pick. They have a massive population. Donegal have a big pick. Meath have a big pick, and Kildare. Look at Dublin as well. They all have big picks. And Roscommon are punching above their weight, as are Monaghan. And like, long may it continue, and long may that passion be in the jersey for Roscommon. And hopefully this year, as I say every week, that the players will, you know, give it their best shot the way they did last year, and have no fear of any opponent, and play with abandon and play with style, and go at it, go for it, and go forward ball, and hopefully they'll give us some great days out this year again, Aidan, you know.
That's it. And I suppose really when you see the amount of work that's going on in the county with regards to coaches, obviously we know Willie Hegarty is heavily involved. He's involved in the coaching end of things and training coaches. But so does the work that the likes of him is doing, and also club coaches at all levels around the county as well. Like, they play your huge part. But I think the other thing, I suppose you could say around the country, but I suppose most certainly, and I suppose it's an appropriate thing to say, considering the time of year, as we know, the role of the academies in different in the counties around the country. But as we know, there's the academy in Roscommon as well, and of course that's named after Dermot Airlie had a role in that as well. You know, I think it's the Dermot Airlie GA Academy. You know, so these are all great tools for developing top quality players coming, you know, that are coming through in the years to come.
I think Aidan, the challenge, I think, for every county, and this is, again, I've been out of Roscommon but for the last while, but I'm delighted to be back living in the county at the moment again. And I think I'm sure it's the goal of every county board in the country to make every club an academy in its own right. Do you know that? Yeah. That the standards in every club of coaching, of training, of both physical and mental training, is at the highest order. And that's uniform across the county. And I'm sure Willie Hegarty is doing that. And Willie's a great coach. There's no question he's done a great service to Roscommon over many, many years.
But if you could, he was involved with the CBS a couple of years ago, some of their successes.
I was going to mention the schools as well. Schools are great academies, because I went to St. Mel's in Longford. That was an academy. You know, that was, to all intents and purposes, that was like a professional football club. You know, because you trained three or four nights a week. You thumbed home at evening after work, after training. You know, everything was football orientated. We had very good coaches. But if you can make every club an academy in its own right, that the coaches are up to speed on all the up to date advancements in coaching, and they are, because there's lots of coaching sessions going on where the coaches are being brought up to date and coached in level 1-2 foundation courses as well. So I know I've done the courses in Donegal, and when I was there, and I had a great honour. I trained teams for 4 years, and did the coaching badges as well. So we try to make the coaching in the club as good as we can get, and try and make it an academy and get the skill level up to a high level. And I'm sure Roscommon is doing the same thing. The only thing I say about academies, that's an area where young fellas can get ahead of themselves if they're not careful, in the sense that you make the academy from your club and I don't make it, and we're not far off. And your man goes to the academy at 14, maybe thinks he's made it, whereas the guy that stays at home might be take that as a defeat, and he might work twice as hard in. You know, that sort of way. It's a tricky one. You know, because I've seen it in the past myself, where players have been left out of, sort of back in my day, I saw players left out of types of academy group get-togethers, and that's my own personal experience, which it was an arbitrary thing where players were left out and other players were put in. And I'm sure the people that's making those decisions are making them with full knowledge of the quality of the player they're dealing with, and they're making the right decisions. But there's a lot to be said for making the clubs academies and getting the coaches of the clubs up to the top level, and that they're playing club football on a regular basis, playing with their schools, and the schools are at a high level of coaching, so that when they do get into the county setup at under 14, 16 and minor, that they're at a good level. And one thing I'd say, and I know coaching, there's county teams now at under 14 level. This is my own personal opinion. I don't think there should be county under 14 teams. I think under 16 is, or under 15 is time enough. I think that under 14, they should be left to play with their clubs, their schools, develop their skills. Yes, and develop their skills. Because, like, you imagine you're dropped off the county under 14 team. You know, it's. I think it's just too early. It's only my personal belief. I'm not in any way knocking the system, but it's only my own personal opinion. I think 16 is time enough. I know it's gone to 15 now, isn't it? It's under 17 for the minor. That's another thing.
You see nowadays too, with, we say maybe in the past to a certain extent, you see some players that have never played under 16 or minor for the county, and next thing they go on and they make it onto the county senior team, and they become great players, you know. So it's just because you start off at under 16 at county level and make it, do it that way, obviously it's a good way of doing it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going, like, it just goes to show that a person that might have played under 16 minor and under 21 for the county, it doesn't mean that he won't make a good senior player.
Absolutely, and like, you take Francie Bellew in Armagh, he never played for Armagh at any level other than senior. And I think Kieran Donaghy didn't play much football at underage level for Kerry either. But we spoke about complacency earlier on, Aidan. You know, if you make the county under 16 team and you're pretty good, and you make the county minor team and you're pretty good, and you do well, and say you win something, it could give that player the satisfaction of having done it. You know, you know, and maybe, you know, tamper and stifle their motivation. Whereas the player who's been snubbed at an early level, that can work to his advantage as he goes on, because he has that anger that he can channel into training harder, developing his skills better, playing well for his club, and then getting seen by the selectors at under 21 or at senior level. That, like, particularly if you're playing senior club football in the county and you're doing really, really well and you've never been on an underage county team, well, it's hard to ignore a player who's outstanding at county in the club championship. You know, that's the showpiece and showcasing your talent situation. So there's always lots of hope for anybody who doesn't make a county team at minor, under 16, under 21.
It's just a matter of keep working hard.
And if you're on a senior team or even a very good intermediate team and you do the business, there's no reason why you should be ignored by the county selectors, and you won't be ignored. If a player is playing tremendous at club football at senior level or at the high level of intermediate and has never played club football before, they won't be ignored and they shouldn't be ignored. And lots of players have gone in to the county seniors squad without going through the underage pathway. You know, it's good players can get overlooked at under 16 level, and good players can get overlooked at minor level. And it's no fault of the minor coaches, because they might, in the old days, they used to just have trials, you know, and if you didn't have a good game in a trial, that's it, you were gone. But if nowadays, I'm sure it's more scientific, where scouts are all over the county, they know the players coming through the school system, they know them from early on. So it's harder, I'd say, for a good player to get ignored at underage level now. But certainly, Aidan, if a good player crops up at senior level in the club championship or at Sigerson Cup, you know, it doesn't mean that they would be ignored. Brian Morgan comes to mind, the former Scotland goalkeeper. He made his name playing for UCG in the Sigerson Cup, and I don't think he ever played for minor under 21 team, and he played senior championship for Scotland for a few years. And Brian was I was in the squad with Brian for a time, very nice fella from Elphin. So it's this. There is other pathways, as long as the player keeps at it. They need that stickability and that bounce back ability, as Ian Dowie once said. And the determination, the grit, the guile. Having a good mentor is helpful. Somebody that can rely, bounce their ideas off, maybe a former player or former county player. And also being fortunate to be in a good club system, where there's good systems, good manager, competing at a decent level, where everything's coming together well for them. Then there's no reason why a player can't get into the county system. And once they're in the panel, you know, they're given an opportunity to get acclimatised to the level and hopefully then go on to do their stuff.
Well, that's it, and that's what it's about. And of course, you know, it has become more kind of competitive to make teams nowadays, because I suppose really when you look at it, it's a game of numbers. It's all about, you know, how much areas can a player cover during a game, and how much, you know, what sort of work is a player doing outside of games? And you know, it's all about statistics nowadays compared to the past. But I suppose really that's the way the sport has gone. But
it, yeah, is, like at senior level, it's rare that a player who's a top player is ignored by the county selectors. You know, even at Roscommon, you know, it's very difficult to see who. Maybe Anthony Cunningham was left out last year. You know, this player's unavailable for whatever reason. Like Niall McInerney, top player. I don't know. He's back now this year, I hear. So, like, it's very rarely...
Two merchants are back.
It's great, yeah. But, like, the point is, the cream always comes to the crop. The cream always comes to the top, rather. The cream of the crop comes to the top, put it that way. So, like, it's rarely happens in Roscommon that a top player is not playing with the county squad. You know, it's rare, unless by injury or by, you know, they've opted out or whatever. It's rarely the case. And it's rarely the case in most counties now, because everything's under such a microscope with social media and players being monitored, and fans are the best judge of players. And they're beyond social media. They'll be in the newspaper, people will be writing as well. So it's very hard for a good player to be ignored. And the great thing for any young player coming through is that just because you don't make the under 60 team or the academy or the minor team, that doesn't mean that you're not capable of going forward to become a star at senior level. Same Aidan as Leaving Cert. Leaving Cert's very good. Like, playing with the minor team is a very good stepping stone to get to the senior squad, as is playing with the under 20 team. However, not having a good Leaving Cert doesn't necessarily mean that you're a failure in life. You see so many people, successful people, who have never been academically strong. And, you know, that's not having a top Leaving Cert is no impediment to somebody being going forward and having a very successful life.
A lot of it is how you conduct yourself.
A lot of it's attitude, a lot of it's determination, support systems around you. Just shaking the dust down and getting on, and not saying I've been, if you like, it's all attitude, Aidan. There's two ways you can look at it, you know. You can say I've been hard done by and victimised by being ignored by the county minor team and retire from football. Or you can say, I'm going to show these guys. I'm going to work hard at my club. I'm going to go and work hard at my university team. I'm going to work hard with every team I can get an opportunity to play on.
I think that's the thing that the coaches actually do respect. Maybe some coaches do that to see, well, you know, maybe if I leave him out this time, we'll see, is he willing to put in the work and prove me wrong? You know, sometimes that can be a tool that coaches might use to say, right, well, this guy isn't working hard enough. Does he really want it? Well, we'll leave him out, or, you know, we'll have him on the bench. And if he really wants to make it and he puts in the work, then we'll give him the chance. So it's kind of nearly, I've been in it a couple of times where, you know, I suppose with the Gaels at senior level, where I was only on the league panel and I didn't make the championship panel. And I felt like I could have been on it. So lucky enough that I had the chance to prove them wrong, because the under 21 championship was there. And we had a very successful run with the under 21s. And then I made it the following year. So it can act as a motivation thing. Nearly, I suppose, from a player's point of view, it's nearly like being spiteful. Well, I'll show them that they were wrong to drop me. And next, you know, and nearly, if there's another level where they're playing, they'll say, right, I'll play well at this level and I'll make it harder for them to leave me out.
Absolutely. A setback can either make you or break you, you know, and as I said, the attitude that you have towards it, like, you could be dropped off a squad or whatever, but only yourself can dictate your attitude towards that. You can show them that they made a mistake, and then there could be a new manager in the next year. You know, a new manager comes in and says, "Hey, how's this fella not playing?" and bring him back in. And you see that pretty regularly with county squads, where some player isn't in favour with a certain manager and may not be in the squad, and then that manager goes, and the following year the player is back with the new manager. That's been going on for decades, you know, in all counties, I would say, you know. So, yeah. But it's this year in Roscommon, Aidan, and I hope Anthony Cunningham, I know he will, this is a great opportunity for club players at the high end of intermediate and the high end of senior football to showcase their talents to the Roscommon selectors, because the championship is coming before the county championship. So the club championship, it's great motivation for every club player who feels they have the ability to play county football, to go out and show Anthony Cunningham and Ian Daly and Mark Dowd what they can do. And if they, week in, week out in the club championship, are on fire, I think Anthony Cunningham, you know, hopefully he would take them in. You know, I know it's only a short juncture into the county setup or the county championship setup, but I'd like to see if a player makes himself unignorable in the club championship, that the county selectors have the opportunity this year, which is a unique opportunity, to bring in a club player for the inter-county championship. Usually it's the reverse. Usually the inter-county championship is over and then the club starts, and usually the club player doesn't get a chance until the following season. Whereas this year, there's great motivation for good players who feel that they should be on the county squad to show Anthony and everybody what they can do in the club championship this year.
That's it. And I suppose, really, as we know last night, you know, the draw was made for the championships at senior, intermediate, and junior, involved myself as well this season. But you know, I suppose looking at the senior championship there in the group with the Gaels, it's an intriguing one, because you have Lee McNeil obviously managing Roscommon Gaels, and then also in that group then you have Western Gaels, which is managed by Fergal O'Donnell. So the groups have thrown up some very interesting scenarios, haven't they?
If Sky Sports had exclusive rights to the Roscommon Senior Championship, Aidan, I think Western Gaels and Roscommon Gaels would be pay-per-view.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, that would be a very... Because, you know, when you consider, like, Fergal O'Donnell and Liam were teammates with the Gaels and that, and now they're face-to-face, it'd be a very... Well, I mean, they're two very good teams. And then, of course, Boyler, they're thereabouts in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, and Pearce's.
You know, with the Smiths and Pearce's and that. So it's going to be a very interesting championship as well.
Yeah, you've got some great teams there. Like, you know, you've the Gaels and Western Gaels and... You know, who else is Crones? Is Crones in there as well, isn't it?
Crones as well, yeah. Fiorty as well.
Fiorty, yeah. Sure, that'd be a great local derby with Fiorty and the Gaels. You know, it's a novel. Yeah. A novel. I don't know if they've ever met in the senior championship before, have they?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It would have been a while ago, if they did, like, you know, it would have been a good while ago. But
Fiorty deserve great credit, Aidan, because, like, when I was playing football, we were lucky, you know, to play. I played intermediate, and we were in the senior league and senior championship for a time as well. We won the intermediate championship. But when I started playing, and for about 10 years, Fiorty were like the whipping boys of Roscommon. You know, they were always determined, always dedicated, but they just hadn't got the talent, you know. And they have come on now with some serious footballers. You know, excuse me, they were in the All-Ireland Club Final. They won the junior. They won the intermediate. And now they're there in the senior championship. And congratulations to them, and I wish them the best of luck. You know, imagine.
And I suppose, looking back at the past, I mean, you know, from Fiorty, you had Frankie Farrell was in the minor team.
That's right, yeah.
That you played. He was a very good player year as well. Like, yeah. You know, and I suppose nowadays, you know, you had Craig's, then you had the Kennellys, and, yeah. You know, and then there was St. Kieran's as well. Yeah. There's many different.
Niall Kilroy.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
That great, if you like, servants over the year, like Fiorty, like Mervyn Connaughton, you know, they had Tomás Bannon, they had Thomas Reddington, you know, Niall Kilroy's there now. So they've had great, like I remember playing against some very good players, you know, great servants to the club. And you know, more luck to them. They deserve all the success they get. They come up the hard way, and I'm sure they're going to enjoy their time now at the top table in Roscommon football, you know. So
that's it. It's about enjoying it while you're there. I mean, you know, it's a very hard championship to win, obviously, the senior. Well, any of them, the intermediate or juniors as well, and I'm sure we're all going to find that. So that's it. So that's been another very good Roscommon GAA memories. And, of course, this week we're going to do something special again now this week in memory of the great Dermot Hurley, a tribute show. Isn't that right?
We'll do that. We'll do that, Aidan, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something for the listeners to look forward to.
I might finish off just before we finish about giving the Roscommon team from 2001 and the scorers.
Oh, that's right. Normally we always do that.
The Roscommon team from the Connacht final in 2001. The man of the match was Gerry Loughan, of course. Derek Thompson was in goals. Derek played very well that day. Dennis Gavin, John White, Michael Ryan, Clifford MacDonald, Francie Graham, Paul Noon, Fergal O'Donnell, Seamus O'Neill, Conor Kennelly, Lord of Mercyham, John Hanley, Stephen Loughan, Nigel Dineen, Gerry Loughan, and Frankie Dolan. Subs were Gary Cox for Nigel Dineen, Don Kennellan for Stephen Loughan, Jonathan Dunning for John Hanley, Alan Nolan for Don Kennellan again, because Don Kennellan got injured towards the end. And the scorers, Gerry Loughan got 2-2. He got a point from a free and a point from a 45. He got the two goals from play. Frankie Dolan got 3 points. One was a 45. Seamus O'Neill got 2 points. Conor Kennelly, John Hanley, and Stephen Loughan got a point each. Now, just finished with a quote. And Fergal O'Donnell was the captain. And he said that this is the greatest day in my football life. To lead this Roscommon team to victory is the dream come true and something I will always cherish. He said, I know more than most what it's like to lose, and a minor title in 89 is all I have to show for years of endeavour. But when you have a victory like this with such a group of lads, it makes up everything. And as captain, he said, to get my hands on the cup at 29 years of age is the most unbelievable feeling. But then I reckon we trained as hard as anyone in the country, but things just did not work out. We're a small county with a small pick, and while we pulled it out of the fire today, you always need that bit of luck, and we had it today because I really thought we were gone. So that's a brilliant way to finish.
It is, and I suppose really little did he know that 9 years later, well, I suppose 4 years earlier, 4 years later to manage the minors
in
All Ireland, and then 9 years later to win a Connacht title with the Roscommon seniors. So, you know, he achieved a lot both as a player and a manager, which is great.
One of the greats in Roscommon, Fergal, as a player and a manager, really, really up top notch. So, again, he's a man, deserves everything that he gets because he works so hard and he puts so much effort into it. And he did it in the right way, in a gentlemanly way, as a player and as a coach, and is so dedicated and his attention to detail in all that he did and does. And I think Fergal, there's going to be more good days for him ahead as well. So that's great, Aidan.
And of course, the way he gets people to buy into what he's trying to achieve as well, which is
absolutely
key thing. Yeah. Listen, thanks very much for your time. And of course, we'll be talking to you in a few days' time, and we'll be doing that the Dermot Hurley tribute.
Okay, Aidan. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks very much. And that was Ray Lannan, former Roscommon goalkeeper, and that was this week's Roscommon GAA Memories.